But it's a blessing to be able to work. And it's also a blessing to be able to come out here and fellowship with y'all and to preach and to teach and talk about the Lord and visit with you. It's it's a good time. I look forward to it every opportunity that we get to come out. So I just want to let y'all know that y'all are a blessing to me. And we've been doing a series on the counterfeits that Satan produces. And we're going to continue with that today. I sat down this morning, was going back over my notes again. And the particular subject we're going to deal with today is the counterfeit Christ that Satan produces. In other words, Antichrist is what we're going to talk about him and look at that from a scriptural presentation. But when I was going back over my notes, I noticed that I had not included probably the most relevant or most germane passage of scripture dealing with the Antichrist. And those are all in the Apostle John's epistles in 1st and 2nd John. And we'll talk some about those this morning. I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer here. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of salvation, Lord. We thank you for each and every family that's represented here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless all those that work here, Lord. I pray, Lord, you give them what they need to minister to the residents, Lord, and to help them, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. And we want to tell you we love you, Lord, and we pray now, Lord, that you'll anoint the teaching, the preaching, Lord. And we just want to praise you and thank you for that gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, like I said, we've been talking about the counterfeits that Satan produces. And last time when I was out, we talked about counterfeit gods that Satan produces. And we're going to talk about this morning, counterfeit Christ. And I got quite a bit of material to cover. And if any of you know a lot about your Bible, you've been around churches and around preaching and Bible teaching for most of your life, you know who the Antichrist is. He's mentioned many times. There is a prophetic person of the Antichrist that we talk about that he manifests himself very strongly in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 13. I mentioned Revelation 13 this morning. I'm not going to get focused in on it because in Revelation 13 we have Satan's big counterfeits there. We have the dragon there, which is a counterfeit of Satan himself. And then we have the beast in there, which is the Antichrist. And then we have the false prophet in there who represents the anti-spirit. Satan produces counterfeits that are opposed to God in every area of our lives. He does it doctrinally, he does it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Ghost. He counterfeits those, and he also counterfeits the Father. So this morning we're going to talk about the counterfeit Christ. There have been many antichrists throughout history, and we've seen them. If you have followed, been a Christian, you'll hear individuals down through history that have been referred to as they could be the Antichrist. You remember Adolf Hitler? You remember Mikhail Gorbachev? And there's all kind of not just political leaders that people have called out as being possible candidates for the Antichrist, but many religious leaders have also been called out as being possible candidates for the Antichrist. I'll not be focused so much on that, even though I will mention a lot of those individuals here this morning. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself had this to say in Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. If you know your Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is on Temple Mount at this time when it's given, and he's telling the disciples those things that are going to come to pass out of Matthew chapter 24. He even prophesies of the destruction of the temple in Matthew chapter 24, the very temple that he just walked out of. And then he also says this in that same chapter in Matthew chapter 24, verses 23 and 24, says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall so show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, one of the big characteristics of the manifestation of the Antichrist, if you will, if you look at Revelation chapter 13, is it talks about a false signs and wonders that are displayed for the purpose of deception in Revelation 13. But also over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you read that where it's talking about the appearance of the Antichrist over there. It associates his, and we'll call it a ministry because it is a ministry. It is a ministry that is designed. Satan has his own ministers, and his ultimate minister is the Antichrist and the false prophet. But it even talks in 2 Thessalonians about them performing miracles whose purpose is to deceive. We've got to be knowledgeable about our Bible so that we will not be deceived. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, the apostle Paul writing says, "For if he that cometh preacheth unto you another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." The apostle Paul here is saying that he fears that those that are sitting under the voice of his ministry will be deceived and receive these things. And notice that he identifies a false Jesus in 2 Corinthians 11, 4 here. He also identifies another spirit. Next week, we'll be talking about that other spirit, that spirit of Antichrist. We'll get into it more in depth, but we will get into, hopefully into 1 and 2 John to read some passages there. But it also talks in there about another gospel. Later on, we're going to deal with the counterfeit gospels that Satan puts out there to deceive people. So all of these are covered within the context of 2 Corinthians 11:4. And if you know anything about the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth had some very, very serious problems in it. The Holy Ghost rebuked that congregation there because of all the heresies that were going on with it. Not just heresies, but open sins, sexual sins that involved incest, also involved somebody's stepmother. So there was a lot of wickedness going on in that church, and all of it being fostered by a spirit of Antichrist that was leading those people, tempting those people to sin. Now, there have been many men, as I was saying earlier, down through the ages that have made claims to be Christ. And there's a lot of folks that have been deceived by it, and a lot of folks have died at the hand of those deceivers. How many of you remember Jim Jones and the events that took place with Jim Jones and the so-called Hale-Bopp Comet, where there was a cult that was following them? Well, in the Jim Jones thing, I believe that there were somewhere over 900 people that died because they drank a Kool-Aid, a poison Kool-Aid that was given unto them, and they died following a false Messiah. Now, among the men in history that have identified as Antichrist, there's quite a few of them that have that are Jewish is their background. And some of those would include Simon Bar Kokhba around 132 A.D. If you know anything about history, you know that he led a revolt against the Roman Empire, which the nation of Israel was in subjection to at the time he was around. Then we have Moses of Crete, another Jew that came around in the 5th century. Then we had Obadiah of Isfahan in A.D. 744. We had Abraham Abulafia in the 13th century, and not, you probably won't recognize most of these names, but in their time, they were very famous among the Jewish people. Then we had Shabbethai Zivi in the 17th century. Then we had Nachman of Breslov in the 18th century. And then we had Rabbi Menachem Schneerson in the 20th century. And there have been numerous other Jews that have put themselves in the role of being the Jewish Messiah. And they were all identified with the Antichrist. Now, there's also been have been many Gentile men down through the centuries who have been identified with the supposition that they could also possibly be the Antichrist. We could list one after another, every political leaders that have been that, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mengele out of Germany, Idi Amin in Uganda, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, who was the Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi. All of those pervaded of the spirit of Antichrist and potential could have been in that position. And the list, folks, could go on and on of people that have been identified with it. Even the Pope himself has been identified by Protestants down through history as being a potential candidate for the Antichrist. And I'm going to speak a little bit to that a little bit later on and address that particular question. While many Protestants and I'm a Baptist, folks, and many of the Baptists down through the years have advocated for that position, I do not believe that that is entirely the case, and I'll explain to that when we get to that. There's some very good reasons. The Church of the Antichrist is a synthesis of the world's religions, not just Christianity. It's a synthesis of Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Shintoism, you just name it, all the religions in the world, they will come together in a one world religious system that is prophesied in Revelation chapter 17. Now, when we start talking about the word Christos, that is a Greek term that refers to the Jewish Messiah. He is the Messiah. You'll hear a lot of the Jews refer to him as Mashiach. He is their Messiah, their promised Messiah. They did not realize it, but their Messiah has already come, and they're still looking for him, folks. And they're looking for him more and more even today than what they have been. And, of course, both Christ and the term Messiah means the anointed one. He is God's anointed one, referred to many times in the Scripture, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish people and their rabbis, as I said before, they're still looking for their Messiah. They did not receive him at the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is coming a false Christ, folks, that the Jews will receive. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say in John 5, verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That's John 5:43. And who is that one that will come that they will receive? It will be the Antichrist. That's what the warning is there. Now, speaking of multiple men who could be the Antichrist, the Muslims have been set up to receive the Antichrist, folks. They have been set up to receive him. If you study the Quran and the Hadith, you will discover that the Muslim Messiah perfectly fits the biblical description of the Antichrist. That's why I say that they've been set up to receive the Antichrist. Their Messiah is our Antichrist, the biblical Antichrist. Now, they have, and their Antichrist, which they call the Dajjal is our Christ, folks. So you see where the difference has been, where the Muslims have been set up to receive the Antichrist, to receive that deception of the Antichrist. Over the years, I've heard much discussion as to whether the Antichrist is Jewish, whether he's Christian, or whether he is a Gentile. And can I say this, after having studied it over the years, I have come to the conclusion that he will come out of Islam, is where I believe that he will come out of. And I can pretty much document that for you. That's not a mainline or mainstream belief, but that's what I believe about it. If you look at Islam, it is its doctrine, its religious doctrine, and the geography associated with the actions as they relate to both the Christians and the Jews in Islam makes them a perfect description of both the religion of the Antichrist and of the Antichrist himself. So keep that in the back of your mind. If you look at Bible prophecy, when we start talking about the Antichrist, every nation that's called out in Bible prophecy that will come against the nation of Israel, the ones that I'm talking about, the ones that are specifically called out. Now, the Bible calls out all nations, but the countries that are named by name in the Bible, are they surround the nation of the Israel. And what would you think is their religious system that they hold to? They all, everyone without exception, holds to Islam. They all hold to the doctrines of Islam. And if you know anything about Islam, Islam is a synthesis of Old Testament Judaism out of what the Jews would call the Tanakh. That's our Old Testament. It's a synthesis of that and New Testament Christianity, the worship of the ancient moon god Allah, and it also has some elements in it of Zoroastrianism. And Zoroastrianism is a ancient Iranian religion that worships the god of fire, is who he is. So you need to know that about the Hadith and the Quran, that it is a synthesis of all those religious documents that are there. I have read and studied them in great detail. I've written quite extensively about those individuals. So if you take a look at Islam, one of the things that they do is they deny the Trinity. In fact, what they'll do, if you are a part of their group or you're in a country that they take over and you promote the Trinity, if you don't renounce it, it's off with your head. That's how serious they are about it. They say that God does not have a son. They do not believe in the Holy Ghost. What it ultimately is, at the bottom line, they deny the Trinity, what the Bible calls the Godhead in the New Testament. They deny the Trinity. And if you don't deny it with them, they will kill you for that. Now, we're going to read three passages of scripture here today that will show you that if you don't believe that God acts as the Father, and that God, that the Son, that He has a Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, if you don't believe those, then you have the spirit of Antichrist. We'll show you that passage of scripture here in just a few minutes. Now, the ultimate counterfeit Christ is the Antichrist. He's the ultimate. There are many scriptural types of the Antichrist. If you read through your Bible, the very first one would include Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. He was the first type of it. Now, how many of you remember the dealings that Moses had with Pharaoh in Egypt while he was there in Exodus chapters 5 through 14? Pharaoh is a type, biblical type, of the Antichrist. And then we have the bramble of Judges 9, verses 14 and 15. Now, that bramble, if you read through the context of Judges chapter 9, you will see that when he starts talking, Israel is requesting a ruler, and they call out several things and they reject those, and then it comes to this bramble, and that bramble is a type of the Antichrist, and they receive him, and that's in Judges chapter 9. And then the Antichrist is also referred to as the abominable branch in Isaiah 14, verse 19. And if you know your Bible, you know that Lucifer himself appears in Isaiah 14 as the son of the morning. In Isaiah chapter 14, you see the five I wills of Satan. Those I wills ultimately end with him wanting to usurp the throne of God. And then lo and behold, the Antichrist shows up as the abominable branch in Isaiah 14:9. And then he's also referred to as the branch of the terrible ones in Isaiah 25 verse 5. He's referred to as the Assyrian in also in Isaiah 14:25 and in Micah chapter 5 verses 5 and 6. He's also referred to as the Prince of Tyrus. We talked about him last week. That's out of Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 1 through 10. And then we have the king of Tyrus, which is in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. If you remember what we talked about last week, that king of Tyrus, the description that's given to him in Ezekiel 28 can be none other than Satan itself, because it says in that passage of Scripture that he appeared in the garden. Who was in the garden? Satan, Adam, and Eve. And then God showed up many, many times there in the garden. But Satan was that individual that was in that Garden of Eden. So we see him described there. And then another type of the Antichrist was Nebuchadnezzar, and we see him described in Daniel chapter 2 through 4. You remember the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up in the plain that he ordered everybody to worship? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship that image, and what happened? They were thrown into the furnace. If you look at the details that are given in the book of Daniel, do you know what Nebuchadnezzar and his image are marked by? They are marked by the number 666. And what is the number 666? That is the number of the Antichrist, isn't it? Nebuchadnezzar's image and everything associated with it, the music and all of it, are identified with the number 6. And what is the number 6? Basically, it's a number of man, isn't it? Who is the Antichrist? Is a man. He is Satan incarnate, is what he is. Now, we also have Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. You remember when the Medes and Persians came in and destroyed, or not, they didn't totally destroy, but they came in and took the city of Babylon in the middle of the night while they were in a drunken party. We see that in Daniel chapter 5. And then how many of you remember Haman in the book of Esther in chapters 3 through 7? What was his plot? His plot was he had intention to kill all the Jews, a genocide. And how many times, folks, have we seen that in the history of the Jewish people? Haman is a type there of the Antichrist. Remember Adolf Hitler. Take a look at what is happening in America today. It's not just America, it's in Canada, it's throughout all of Western civilization, and it's in other countries other than Western civilization, but it has hugely manifested itself in the Western societies. All these demonstrations against the nation of Israel, promoting the hatred of the Jew on college campuses and in our government, all that's happening right now. Folks, I detest anybody that hates the Jew. Not them. I detest that doctrine that promotes the hatred of the Jew. If you hate the Jew, then you've got a problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a serious problem. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said that if you have that problem, God will judge you for it. All the way back to Genesis chapter 12, God gave a special appointment, a special place to the Jew in his heart. He said anybody that would bless the Jew, he would bless them. Anybody that would curse the Jew, he would curse them. And this guy Haman, his plot in Esther was to destroy the Jew. What ended up happening to him? Both him and all of his sons got publicly hung because of the plot that they hatched against the Jew. And then we have the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He's also a type of the Antichrist. And then we have a guy that he's called out in some of the modern Bibles, but his name is Antiochus Epiphanes, Daniel chapter 21 verse 32. He sacrificed a sow upon the altar in the Jewish temple. And you know that pork is an abomination to the Jewish people. And by the way, it's also an abomination to the Muslim. Pork is. They don't eat pork. They don't want, pigs around them or anything else. In fact, the Muslims use that term pig as a, negative term to talk bad about the Jewish people. That's what they refer to the Jews as, pigs, is what they refer to them as. So, that Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed that pig on that altar. And then we have the willful king of Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. And then we have the first rider of the white horse in Revelation 6:2. That is the Antichrist. And then we have the beast in Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10. So there's many, many types of the Antichrist throughout history and documented in the pages of your Bible. Though the Bible contains much about the person of the Antichrist and his wickedness, the word Antichrist only appears 4 times in your Bible, folks. 4 times. But there's a lot about him in the Bible. All 4 of those appearances are in 1st and 2nd John. And I'm going to go and read those passages of scripture. And these, listen very carefully to these. These tell you about what is the identifying mark of the Antichrist. Okay, we'll start in 2 John and 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 18 through 23. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? Listen here, folks. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Remember what I was just telling you about Islam, that their official doctrine is that God does not have a son. In fact, it is an abomination to them for you to say that God has a son. It is an abomination for you to say that God is a father. That's abominable to them. And the Holy Ghost is not a part of that either. So they automatically fit the glove here that's given for those that have the spirit of Antichrist. And folks, there are a lot of Christian cults out there that also do not believe in the Trinity. They are also possessed of the spirit of Antichrist. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Folks, it is in the world in full force now. The spirit of Antichrist has taken over in America. If you take a look at what goes on in America now, all the wickedness in our political and financial institutions and in our churches, folks. In our churches. I hit this just about every time I come out here. We have people that are supposed to be ministers of God. I call them Satan's sinister ministers is what I call them. That are holding they're holding functions where they bring drag queens in before children in the church, in the sanctuary of the church, and they promote those things in the churches. Do you think that's of God? Absolutely not. It is not of God. You have denominations that are promoting the installation of what the Bible calls sodomites into the ministry that are pastors and preachers, deacons and leaders within the church, and God says that's an abomination. He says don't do it. In fact, this past week we had a major denomination that voted to start officially recognize them as ministers of the gospel. Folks, that is an abomination to God. That is of the spirit of Antichrist. It is the spirit of this age. And most of these folks deny that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the flesh. The passage of scripture that I use a lot, let me see if I can find it here. It's in First Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being manifest in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Did you hear that? God was manifest in the flesh. Now, most of the new versions of the Bible correct that. They take the fact out that he's manifest in the flesh. There's an issue with that, folks. That's of the spirit of Antichrist. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. It says God was manifest in the flesh. Who is God? The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah, folks. That's who he is. We figured that out from Zechariah chapter 12. If you read all the way through it, you can figure out that it was Jehovah that was crucified on the cross. It was Jehovah that was God manifested in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God. He's not God the Father. He's God the Son. But he's also Jehovah manifested in the flesh. And I could say a whole lot about that. It's amazing to me. If you look at your Bible, for years I'd heard people preach and I'd heard people teach that the Lord Jesus Christ come through every page of your Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And until just a few years ago, though I was well studied in the Bible, I did not understand how much there really is there. And lo and behold, in the last couple of years, I've got involved in a study where I started looking at the angel of the Lord. And folks, it would amaze you how many times the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in the Old Testament in a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord. How many times he's there. Now, we talk about God the Father. Did you know that God the Father, you can only specifically identify God the Father about 18 different times in the Old Testament? But did you know that there's more revealed about him in the New Testament than what is specifically revealed in the Old Testament? Over 100 times in the New Testament that God the Father is mentioned. And lo and behold, God the Son is manifested in such a powerful way in the Old Testament. If you look at a lot of the Old Testament passages of Scripture that are said to be about the Lord, and that's in all caps in this King James Bible. It shows up in all caps, Lord does. That's Jehovah, folks. Do you know how many times Jehovah is in that Old Testament? Over 6,800 times. That's how much of that. And there's a lot of things said about Jehovah that are applied to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. One of those things, how many of you remember the I Am out of Exodus chapter 3? The Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it was in John chapter 8, he said that before Abraham was I Am. Do you know what he was saying there? He was saying that he was the I Am of Exodus chapter 3. He was Jehovah is what he was saying. And in Philippians where it talks about every knee is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, that passage of scripture is applied to the Lord, the Old Testament Jehovah in the Old Testament. It's applied to him. And there's one occurrence after the other when you start studying that particular issue out. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. I cannot emphasize that strong enough. A lot of folks in Christianity are not teaching that any longer. They don't teach it. And folks, that's a very, very serious issue. And a lot of folks also are also teaching you don't have to be born again. That is not scriptural, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ, in dealing with Nicodemus, said, ye must be born again. He said unto Nicodemus, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, talking to Nicodemus, the thee applied to Nicodemus. And then he followed that immediately after in the next sentence, ye must be born again. Who is the ye? That's a plural. That applies to everybody. Ye must be born again to get into the kingdom of God. If you've not been born again, folks, you're going to die and burn for an eternity in hell. That is one of the most important doctrines that you'll run across in the Bible. The two most attacked doctrines in your Bible is the doctrine of man's salvation and the doctrine of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're hitting real heavy today on the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and the spirit of Antichrist that is there to oppose it. Now, in 2 John verse 7, it says this, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Once again, what's the qualification? If you deny that he's come in the flesh, then you are of the spirit of antichrist. Now, in the three passages that we just read, we are warned that there are many antichrists already in the world, even in the Apostle John's day. Believe me that today that the spirit of Antichrist is manifesting itself in the most vile way since the Genesis flood. Do you remember all the stuff that was going on before the Lord destroyed the world with the flood back in the book of Genesis? Do you remember the wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah when the Lord destroyed them? Folks, we are even more. I believe we're even more wicked than what they were at that time. And that being the case, it cannot be long before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And if you're not ready for him, you need to get ready for him. And by that I mean, if you're not saved, you better get saved, because if he comes back and you're not saved, you're going to go through the tribulation. And if you go through the tribulation, woe unto you, folks. There's a passage of scripture in 2 Thessalonians that teaches that if you don't receive him, that if you reject him and you go into the tribulation, you'll never be saved again. You'll never get another opportunity to be saved. That's in 2 Thessalonians. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, you need to be looking up. But because we need to be looking, the Bible admonishes Christians that we need to be looking for his return, for that blessed hope. And we see that term in Titus chapter 1. As Christians, we're to be looking for the blessed hope. And what is that? That is the rapture of the saints. A lot of people say it's a rapture of the church. I prefer to say it's a rapture of the saints, because the saints are saved folk. All, according to the Bible, anyone that's saved is a saint. You're a saint. You don't have to be canonized to be a saint. If you're saved, you're a saint. But as a Christian, you need to be looking up and looking for his return. Now, those who are under the control of the spirit Antichrist desert Bible-believing Christianity because they are not of us. Remember what we read up in 1 John chapter 2. They left because they were not of us. Now, why were they not of us? Because they did not have the Spirit of Christ. They were possessed, according to 1 John chapter 2, they were possessed of the spirit of Antichrist, is what they were possessed of. They are not only deceivers, but they are deceivers that are being deceived. Even the deceivers are being deceived. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about that deception of the people that are deceiving everybody else around them. They're also deceived. And there's a lot that could be said about them. They have not the spirit of Christ because they are possessed of the spirit of the devil, which is the spirit of Antichrist. We are given the prime marks of the Antichrist in the three passages of scripture that we read in 1st and 2nd John. As a little bit of a review here, number one, they deny the existence of God as the Father. Number two, they deny the existence of God as the Son. Number three, they deny the existence of the ministry of God as the Holy Ghost. Do you remember that phrase up there was used, and it said we had the unction of the Holy One? Do you know what that unction is? That unction is the anointing of the Holy One. And who is the representative of the Holy One since the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended back to heaven? It is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the administrator of the church on the earth today. In John 15 and 16, the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples that the Holy Ghost was going to be sent to minister to the church, and that has taken place. Now, let's see. Number four, they that deny the Lord Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They are, that's the third one. Okay. You need to leave. Go ahead. You're fine. Okay. These folks, all four of the denials that we talk about here, they are a perfect description again of what Islam does. They deny the biblical Godhead in that they deny the theological Trinity. And they pronounce a death penalty upon anyone who will not deny the Trinity. While the Quran and the Hadith of Islam are a perfect fulfillment of all that is declared to be true of the Antichrist, there are many unsaved, professing Christian heretics that deny that the Son, and they also deny the Holy Ghost. Woe be unto them, folks. If they deny it, according to the Bible, if they deny the Son and they deny the Father, they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them. If they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, then they are not saved. In fact, that is the teaching of Romans chapter 8 that says that if they that have not the Spirit of Christ are none of His. In Romans chapter 8, we see that called out. Those folks within professing Christianity that are opposed to the doctrine of the Trinity, they don't believe in the Holy Ghost being God, they don't believe in the Son being God, they are called what we call non-Trinitarians. And I'm going to say this too. I've talked a lot about Islam, I've talked a lot about the non-Trinitarians and other religious systems here today. Regardless of their religious affiliation, they are all possessed of the spirit of Antichrist if they deny that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's just what the Bible teaches. Now, all that having been said, in the scriptures, we can readily identify at least 11 contrasts between Christ and the Antichrist. Now, here they follow. I'm not going to go and read the passages of scripture. I'm going to give you the reference, but I'm not going to go and read it because I don't really have the time. In the scriptures, like I say, there are at least 11, and you could find many more. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Son of God 52 times in the New Testament. And the term Son of Man is also used of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that we hear it preached and taught many times that the Lord Jesus Christ was both God and a perfect man? How many of you have ever heard of that? He is 100% God and 100% man. Have you ever heard it put that way? What those terms are, the Son of Man used 50-something times in the New Testament, and the Son of God used 50-something times in the New Testament. They are both testimonies to both the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the perfect manhood. Those are all testimonies to it. So he's referred to as Son of God 52 times. Now the Antichrist is referred to as the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. We went and read that a few minutes ago. Whereas the Antichrist is referred to as the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the man of sorrows in Isaiah 53:3. Whereas the Antichrist is called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Folks, if you've never done a study of the book of Isaiah, and I just called out Isaiah 53:3, which talks about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that when Philip was witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was in the book of Isaiah. You ought to go and do a study of the book of Isaiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is all over the book of Isaiah. I mean, he's just loaded up there. That term, who is our Redeemer, folks, if we're saved? Our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. 13 times in the book of Isaiah. The Holy One, 30 times in the book of Isaiah. And who does the New Testament identify as the Holy One? The Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a number of other passages in Isaiah that apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. A good study for you. Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ is also called the truth in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way, folks. It's not through Islam. It's not through Buddha. It's not through the millions of gods in Hinduism, which is one I've not mentioned here so far. They're probably the world's third largest religion. I believe that Roman Catholicism is number two, and I believe Islam's number one of the religious system. Okay, so he's referred to as the truth, and the Antichrist is called a lie in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself in Philippians 2:8, while the Antichrist will exalt himself in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he appears in the temple. Remember all the way back into Isaiah chapter 14, he was going to go into the temple in Isaiah 14, the five eye wills. Well, that comes to pass in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and he actually appears in that rebuilt temple. And right now, the Jews have a plan where they are planning on rebuilding that third temple. They're getting all the stuff together to do that. And they've even got red heifers that are available to it. And I look to see that happen sometime within the next 5 to 6 years for that to happen. So, they're going to rebuild that temple. And the Antichrist is going to appear in it also. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was despised by the world in Isaiah 53:3. While the Antichrist will be admired and hotly pursued by the world in Revelation 13. The Lord Jesus Christ was and will be rejected by most according to John 1:11. He came into his own and his own received him not. They rejected him is what they done. And by the way, the world today mocks and rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. Terrible day coming for those folks. Very terrible day. There's coming a judgment. People are going to go before the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and they're going to be judged because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, because they did not receive him. And what's at the end of that in Revelation chapter 20? A place called the Lake of Fire. Folks must put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, while the Antichrist will be received by most according to Revelation 13:8. The Lord Jesus Christ did his Father's will according to John 6:38. But the Antichrist will do his own will, according to Daniel 11:36. The Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Savior 29 times in the Bible, whereas the Antichrist is said to destroy in Daniel 8:24. Number 11, the Lord Jesus Christ is and will be highly exalted according to Philippians 2:9-11. That's that passage of scripture I was telling you about a few minutes ago that comes out of the book of Isaiah that's identified with the Lord, with God himself in the Old Testament. It is applied in Philippians 2 to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is and will be highly exalted according to Philippians 2:9-11. But the Antichrist will be cast down according to Revelation 19:20. There is coming a day when it's going to be over for him. And when they get cast into both the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, they're still there when Satan gets cast in there. What I'm trying to tell you is that the lake of fire and hell, they are for eternity. They are forever, folks. They are a place of never-ending punishment. In fact, the Bible says there in Revelation 20 that both death and hell were cast where? Into the lake of fire. So since both death and hell are cast into there, that is the ultimate end of Satan himself. Now, in addition to the contrast that we can see some comparisons between Christ and the Antichrist. And I'm going to identify five of those here. The Antichrist appears on a white horse in Revelation 6:2. The Lord Jesus Christ appears on a white horse at his second coming in Revelation 19:11-16. What does it say there about him? He appears as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And upon his name, a vesture is written. Upon his vesture, a name is written. Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the truth. Okay. The Antichrist ushers in a period of false peace according to Daniel 9:26-27 and 1 Thessalonians 5:3. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace according to Isaiah 9:6. He also shall be the peace when the Assyrian comes into the land according to Micah 5:5. Who is the Assyrian? The Antichrist. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the peace. And then it is the Lord Jesus Christ that giveth the peace that passeth all understanding in Philippians 4:7. What is one of the big marks of the Antichrist, folks? He comes bringing a false peace, doesn't he? Peace when there is no peace. When you see that happen, you see advocates of that, you know that's a mark of the devil. That's a mark of the Antichrist. Peace when there is no peace. Now, what is Islam called? They call it the religion of peace. It's not, folks. That's the furthest thing from the truth if you know anything about Islam. And if you know anything about the terrorist acts that they've committed, you know they're not a religion of peace. That is a peace that is designed to deceive. And the prophet Jeremiah talks about that in Jeremiah 6 and also in chapter 8, where he talks about that false peace. That false peace is a tool of deception of Satan himself. Okay, now, the Antichrist, now we're doing comparisons is what we're doing now here. The Antichrist experiences a death and a short-lived resurrection in Revelation 13:3. The Lord Jesus Christ experienced an everlasting resurrection. Hallelujah for that. Praise God for that. He experienced an everlasting resurrection. He will never die for an eternity. And if you're saved, folks, that is what you get. He says, I am the resurrection. When you get the Lord Jesus Christ, you get that resurrection. You may pass away in this body, but there's coming a time where you will be with him in eternity. You will live forever. He is that resurrection. And I say hallelujah to that. And that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see it identified many times in scripture. Matthew 28 verses 1 through 7, Mark 16 verses 4 through 8, Luke 24 verses 1 through 7. And of course, what do we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That passage of scripture that we hear many times preached at funerals. We hear that resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15 talked about and praised about in 1 Corinthians 15. It is an amazing. Many years ago before I got saved, when I would go to a funeral, I would hear that passage of scripture and I would say, those are the saddest words that I've ever heard. But they're not, folks. That's hallelujah time for the saved folks, because there is a promise of a resurrection coming for them, even those that have passed on and gone before us. There is a rapture that's going to take place where the dead in Christ are going to rise up out of the graves, and those that are alive on the face of this earth, they will all be taken up together to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And then not too very long after that, the Lord Jesus Christ literally sets his feet on the face of this earth for the second coming. Difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture, he comes in the air for those that have died in faith and also the ones that are alive. At the second coming, he actually sets his feet on the face of this earth. And we see that in Zechariah chapter 14 and also in Revelation chapter 19. That's what he does. So he is, folks, the resurrection. And then a fourth comparison, the Antichrist is worshipped in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and in Revelation 13:8. Folks, what is the, if you will, the ministry of the false prophet in Revelation 13? He does have a ministry. And you know, you do know that Paul says that Satan has his own ministers, right? And we're going to talk about that later on too. But what is that function of that false prophet? He is in the role that the Holy Ghost is in for the Christian. He points, the false prophet points people toward the deception of the Antichrist. That's what he does. So, and it's not just deception. That false prophet wants people to worship the Antichrist. And of course, who is Antichrist? It is Satan incarnate. So the intent is to get Satan to be ultimately to be worshipped. So, and then we know, as a way of comparison, that the Lord Jesus Christ accepted and received the worship of men in Matthew 8:2, Matthew 9:18, Matthew 14:33, Matthew 15:25, and we can go on and on and on. He is God, folks. He's worthy of our worship. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now, I don't know how much time we got left here. Okay. In closing, I'm going to close here, and I don't know. There's some other stuff here that I really need to read, and I may try to do that. But we would remind our readers and listeners that the Antichrist is the greatest of deceivers. He is the greatest enemy of Bible-believing Christians and Jews. He's also, folks, the world won't acknowledge that he is their greatest enemy, because he is the grim reaper. He brings death. So he is their greatest enemy. His ultimate goal is to fulfill the five I wills of Isaiah 14. He meets his final earthly destruction in Palestine. Now, I use that term Palestine. Do you know that Palestine has never existed as both a nation and a people? Do you know that the only time that term is used in your Bible, it is used as the place of judgment of the Antichrist? I think it's four different times that it's used. They can have Palestine. It's not Palestine. It's Israel. It's Judea. It's Samaria. It's not Palestine. Gaza, the whole war that's going on in Gaza right now. Who was Israel's ancient enemy? The Philistines. The Philistines, and what city did they occupy? Gaza, and quite a few others along the coast there. Do you know that the Roman emperor renamed Judea, Israel, and Samaria, that whole area there, called it Palestine? That's where that name came from. He named it that, and you know why he done that? Because the Jews had rebelled against him. He done it as an act of vengeance. So Palestine is not a legitimate place. And I don't use it for that. The Palestinians are not a legitimate people. They have never been a legitimate people. They are a tool of Satan. They are a tool of Islam that Islam is using to try to destroy both the Jew and the Christian. And a very, very powerful tool, might I say. The world is fully deceived. And I'm going to close here by reading the five I wills of Isaiah chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the sons of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And here's God's commentary on that. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed the land and slain thy people, and the seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare a slaughter for the children of their iniquity and of their fathers that do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and the son and nephew, saith the Lord. Where does all this close out at? In Revelation 18, 17 and 18, we talk about both a religious Babylon, and we've talked about that false religion, and later on we'll talk a little bit more about it. A religious Babylon in Revelation 17, then we have a commercial and political Babylon in Revelation 18. They meet their end in Isaiah 14, they meet their end in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51, and of course they meet their end in Revelation chapter 20. So, next time when I come out, I'm going to be talking about the spirit, that false spirit out there, and some of the works that he accomplishes. And I think most of you would probably agree that our society has become so wicked that we're seeing things today that neither you nor I would have ever thought would happen in America. The manifestation of demons. And I don't often use that term, demons, but I've seen documented cases of things that are happening here in America. There was a young man, and this is documented, folks, that walked up a wall backwards. How do you think that was accomplished? And folks, he was under the influence of a wicked spirit. And he walked up a wall in the emergency room. And this has been a documented case in the state of Ohio. And that's not just, it doesn't just happen there. I knew a missionary, Brother Paul Pritchard, that went to Mozambique. This is just to give you an illustration of what that power, that spirit can do. He actually witnessed a levitation. You know what a levitation is, right? A rising up. off of the ground of an individual. How do you think that was accomplished? Through the power of a devil, a demon, is how that was accomplished. That is just some of the power. And later on, we'll talk a little bit about some of that power. I don't want to deal a lot with it here, because that's something that you really need to be prepared for. I want to thank y'all for coming out. You've been very patient today. I thank you for the opportunity to come out, and we love you guys, and we just are thankful that you come out. So, see y'all again in a probably 2 weeks now. So.